really give it a title. I guess we can still call it creation because that's where we're at. We're in the first chapter. A lot of things occurred before the planet Earth was made special for man, made very special from all the other planets. I don't know how much study any of you have ever done, but the planet Jupiter is a very, very huge planet. I forget how many Earths could be put inside of Jupiter. Does anybody remember from school? Too far long ago, huh? You didn't pay attention in that class, did you? Can you name the planets? You remember the planets? Huh? Earth? Venus? Saturn? Mercury? I heard Pluto. I got a picture of it. They found out it's not a planet at all. It's an asteroid. Because I got a picture of it. I'll show it to you. Tried to find as many pictures of what we're talking about as I could today. Because I find them to be interesting. Very interesting. Especially when you consider the size of the sun. The size of the sun. Wow. Absolutely amazing. We are at the verse 14. Verse 13 said, the evening and the morning was the third day. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for, and pay careful attention to this word, signs. And for seasons, and for days and years, we can just probably stop there. Heavenly Father, bless our time together in this particular study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. We found out in verse 2 that the Lord created light. Verse 3, rather. He said, let there be light. He didn't call it the sun. It was some kind of luminous matter that produce light. We spoke about God's light. Couldn't have been his light because you can't divide his light. It said he divided this one. So you can't divide his light. His light's not dividable. Whatever this luminous matter was, it was important that there was light because plants need light. Grass needs light. They can't be eras or thousands of years because plants cannot be thousands of years without light. And if the Bible says evening, morning was a day, it was a day. It wasn't a geological era. It was a day. What God can do in a day, he's God. The devil would like to tell you he's not. There is no God. Everything you read about creation, they try to do away with creation because they don't want to believe in God. Try to prove that God had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. More so than what you might think. We'll be talking about dinosaurs. Maybe our next Sunday I'll talk about Thanksgiving. Might be a couple weeks till we talk about the animals. We probably won't get to the animals today. Do we have a picture of the sun yet? Let's get that up here behind me. Bless y'all. Send out the Smith brothers. Them are cough drops. This is not a perfect orbit. This is what they call an ellipsial orbit. Where's my, there it is. Of course, there's the sun. Everything revolves around the sun. The sun is stationary. The sun is the largest planet in our system. This is the rotation of the earth. This is where the earth is positioned in March, June, July, September, and we're probably somewhere here right now. This is about where we're at for November, December. January. Now, here's what I can't understand. Why is it so cold in January when we're so close to the sun? This should be January, not July. I'm not a scientist and I'm not a physicist, but I always thought the closer you got to the sun, the hotter it would be. For signs, wow, I don't know where to start. I can start, I guess, with just keep your finger there. Do we have a picture? Yeah, get that picture for me of the sun. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21 talk about the same thing. It's the Olivet Discourse. I want to read for you what the Lord has to say about the Olivet Discourse in the 24th chapter of Matthew. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch it were possible they would deceive the very elect. I've told you, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Hey, didn't I read that in Revelation chapter 6 when the sixth seal was opened? Isn't that what I read? Same thing. Our Lord's referring to the same thing that I read in Revelation chapter 6. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The moon don't have any light to give. The moon is a reflection. The moon is a reflection of the sun. Okay, back up a little bit. That's actually the surface of the sun. These are explosions. You know, explosions take place on the surface of the sun. That looks like an orange. Go back a little further for me. There we go. Here's the reason why I want this picture. Anybody know what that little spot is? These are sunspots. The sunspots are larger than this. That's our Earth. That's our Earth, and compared to the density of the sun, that's how big the sun is. Did you catch it? That little spot, that little blue spot's the Earth. Wow, how big is God? How big and wide his vast domain. Whew. Wow, I'm humbled. The immensity and power of God, explosions going off in the sun constantly, caused, I believe, I read about hydrogen fusing into helium. And what God started there has continued and has been the source of light and the source of heat. And you imagine, I read if that sun would leave the orbit, just take it away, Earth's temperatures would reach 150 degrees below zero. That's why we read in the very first chapter, very first verse, that the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. You know why that was? Because the waters were frozen. Without heat, the water would be froze, so the surface of the earth would have been frozen. But the Spirit of God hovered over the waters and gave warmth to the waters so the waters could be separated, so there could be a separation. And God has began at that point to make a place called Earth for you and me to live. How beautiful and how creative, how powerful God is. Just totally, totally amazed. Maybe there's a few other things I could read about. This is a nice little book I was able to find about the heavens, the universe. While I'm looking there, you can show some of the pictures of the stars. It says he made the stars also. We might have some pictures of the cube. Just go ahead and move on. He made the sun as the greater light to rule the day. That's the sun. There's the moon. Four craters. There we go. That's what he made for the night, to rule the night. It's actually just a, it just reflects the sun's rays. That's all pictures of the moon. Look at the surface of the moon. That's Venus, I believe. Oh, there's Pluto. That was Pluto. That was what they thought was a planet. It's just an asteroid. And they thought it was a planet. Now there we got the stars. Wow, beautiful. These are just snapshots of the stars. While you're going through that, I'll find some information here on the sun. Give you a little bit more information on the sun. So interesting. The sun has 333,000 times the mass of the Earth. The dark spots I showed you were larger than the Earth. You could put over 1 million Earths inside the sun. Over 1 million Earths inside the sun. The Bible has some things to say about the sun. And while we're discussing it, I'm going to read you an article written by Johnny A. Sobel. Did NASA really prove the Bible accounts of Joshua and Hezekiah that a day is missing? You can find these accounts in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, and this about Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. For many years, there had been circulating a story that NASA almost by accident had proved that the Bible story about Joshua asked God to stop the sun, and the story when Hezekiah asked God to turn the sun back 10 degrees is true. But did they actually prove that? Well, here's the story. May sound unbelievable, but it seems NASA's latest discoveries have brought about some new information regarding the Bible stories, finally confirming that everything written in the Bible is actually true. Mr. Howard Hill, president of the Curtiss Engine Company in Baltimore, Maryland, and a consultant in the space program, related the following development. I think one of the most amazing things God has for us today happened recently to our astronomers and space scientists at Maryland. They were checking the position of the sun, moon, and planets out in space, where they would be 100 years and 1,000 years from now. We have to know this so we don't send a satellite up and have it bump into something later on its orbits. We have to lay out the orbits in terms of the life of a satellite, where the planets will be, so the whole thing will not be bogged down. They ran the computer measurement back and forth over the centuries, and it came to a halt. The computer stopped and put up a red signal, which meant there was something wrong, either in the information fed into it or with the results as compared to the standards. They called in the service department to check out, and they said, it's perfect. The IBM head of operations said, what's wrong? Well, we've found that there's a day missing in space in elapsed time. They scratched their heads and tore their hair, and there was no answer. One of the religious fellows in the team said, you know, one time I was in Sunday school and they talked about the sun standing still. They didn't believe him, but they didn't have any other answer, so they said, show us. He got the Bible and went back to the book of Joshua, chapter 10, where they found a pretty ridiculous statement for anybody who has common sense. There they found the Lord saying to Joshua, fear them not, for I've delivered them into your hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua was concerned because he was surrounded by the enemy, and if darkness fell, they would overpower him. So Joshua asked the Lord to make the sun stand still. That's right, the sun stood still and the moon stayed, and hastened not to go down about a day. Well, they checked the computers going back in time. It was written and found it was close, but not close enough. The elapsed time that was missing back in Joshua's day was 23 hours and 20 minutes. Not quite a day. They read the Bible, and there it said, yep, it didn't say a whole day, but about the space of a day is what it said. These little words in the Bible are important, but they were still in wondering because they couldn't account for 40 minutes. You'll be in trouble, too, 1,000 years from now. 40 minutes had to be found because it can be multiplied many times over in orbits. So the religious fellow also remembers somewhere in the Bible it said the sun went backwards, the space. And he, of course, they thought he was, again, lost his cookies, but they got the book out and found where it was written in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, Hezekiah in his deathbed was visited by a prophet Isaiah, who told him he was going to die. Hezekiah did not believe him and asked for a sign as proof. Isaiah said, "Do you want the sun to go ahead 10 degrees? Hezekiah said, "It's nothing for the sun to go ahead 10 degrees, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. Isaiah spoke to the Lord, and the Lord brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards. 10 degrees is exactly 40 minutes. There they found their loss. They found their 40 minutes and 10 degrees in 2 Kings. Isn't it amazing? Our God rubs our noses in the truth. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He does amazing, amazing things. This wasn't the first time. I won't take time to read it, but it occurred back in as early as 1690. They made the same discovery. So it wasn't just NASA, but in 1690, they also found the same thing. Exactly as what the Bible had predicted it would be. Okay. And God made two great lights, verse 16, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. I don't know when the planets were made. Possibly they were made at that time, or possibly they were at the time when God came upon the earth. I don't know. It doesn't say about other planets. It just says stars. It could include the planets as stars, because when you see the planets, what do they look like? Stars. And we can see that with our own naked eye. We don't need to use a telescope. We can spot Jupiter. I think Jupiter was just above the moon the other evening. And you'll hear our weather people tell you that, where it's located. If you'll look in the northern part of above the moon, that's Jupiter, or over here is Venus. And they're there. They appear as stars. So maybe that's when he created them. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They're there. What's interesting to me is when God set them in their place, they've been there ever since. There's no changing in God. He's powerful. It's no wonder David said, "When I consider the heavens and the work of your hands, what are we that thou would be mindful of us?" We really seem a little insignificant, don't we? But God doesn't think so. We're special in his eyes. He says we're the apple of his eye. And so he set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. You know, this is when time began. God initiated time. This is where it started. Verse 14, for seasons. Aren't you glad we have seasons? I think the moon's responsible for the seasons. I don't know exactly how that works. The moon's also responsible for the tides of the ocean. It's responsible for the seasons. I'm glad we live in a place that has seasons. And I mean actual seasons, that you see a difference. And poor people in Florida don't have seasons, Tony. You can tell the boy they don't have seasons down there. They call them that, but Christmas without snow would be different. All right. The evening and the morning was the fourth day, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." There we see God creating the fowl, the birds. He created the birds. Verse 21, God created the great whales. You know, to this day, the blue whale is the largest animal on earth. Larger than the dinosaurs. I'm going to talk about the dinosaurs, but they were larger than the dinosaurs. The whale is the largest creature ever created. It's amazing the size of a great whale, great blue whale. Amazing. God made the whale. And God made the whale. He made it, also the Bible said he made a great fish to take care of Jonah. he made a great fish. Now that tells me that he probably made that fish maybe special for him to accommodate him, because God can make it like that, just like this. He can make it. And it says he had a great fish prepared for Noah or for Jonah. When they pitched him overboard, they said, "I'm the one to blame." He said, "For the storm and everything that's happening, I'm the one to blame. I've been running from God. God's angry with me, throw me overboard. I'm the fault of the storm." And they tried to do everything they could. They didn't want to throw him, or they didn't want to throw the man overboard. But they tried everything they could possibly do. They just kept trying, and they couldn't. And so they just had no other option. They threw him overboard, but God had prepared a great fish for them. Okay, God created the great whales and every living creature that moves about with the waters, brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, when God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply." That blessing has gone throughout the entire scriptures. Wherever we find the blessings, the benediction, it has to do with blessings. What God was doing was blessing what he just created. In order, when he said that they are to be fruitful and multiply, he gave them the ability to propagate. He gave them the ability to reproduce. And that's what his blessing was about. He blessed them to reproduce, to continue to reproduce. And you have to understand, at the time that these animals are created, they're very basic. I'm going to call them basic animals. If he made a dog, it was a dog. It wasn't 14 species of dogs. Today we have, I don't know how many species, but it has to do with man messing with God's creation. Crossbreeding produces certain dogs. In fact, crossbreeding produces labs, and that's why they have hip dysplasia. A lot of labs have hip dysplasia because that's man messing with God's creation, trying to come up with a better dog, and that's why they have a lot of hip dysplasia. But we're talking about different species. When God created the cow, that was a domestic animal. He created the horse. And by the time it was time for Noah's Ark, it didn't mean that we had a horse, a mule, a donkey, a burro. We didn't have all that. At the time of when God created it, we had what? A horse. We didn't have all the species that we have today. And that's why it's hard for people to understand, or they try to throw dirt on the story of the ark. How could God put all these animals in the ark? It's very simple. It was basic animals. They were basic. There weren't near the animals that we have today. We got all kinds of cats and dogs and birds and all kinds of different species. If we were going to make an ark up today with all the species, it would have to be one big ark. But see, that's not the case. Back when they originally created it, it was just a horse, just a cow. Where are all these other ones? I have put out on the table for you. How many of you had the opportunity to go to the ark? I know some of you did. You went to the ark, so have I. After you go through the ark, they have a place to eat, and they also have a store that you can buy books. This particular book's written by Ken Ham. He's got four of them. It's called New Answer Book. I have three of them back on the table. They're all open to the index. It tells you about what it's about. And if there's anything in there that looks interesting to you, take the book along and read it and look at it. Because this particular book I'm holding here, here's what's in this book. Is there really a God? Why shouldn't Christians accept millions of years? Couldn't God have used evolution? What about the gap theory? Cain's wife, who was she? Where'd he get her? Does carbon 14 disprove the Bible? Could God really have created everything in 6 days? Was there really a Noah's Ark and a flood? How did animals spread all over the world from where the ark landed? And what really happened to the dinosaurs? When were they created? Why don't we find human and dinosaur fossils together? Don't creationists believe some wacky things? Where's the ice age fit? So these are all things that's in these books. So I'm going to go quickly here, right here, to what really happened to dinosaurs. What time do I have? Oh, guess I won't. Oh, you say, well, you can go to our finish. No, I can't. Because I won't be finished for a while. And I was raised in a church that didn't even have a clock. Lauren, do you remember? If they did, they didn't look, they never looked at it, did they? You're going to have to come back next week if you want to know what happened to the dinosaur. Not next week. Next week's Thanksgiving week. I got to have a message on Thanksgiving. The week after, we'll find out what happened to the dinosaurs, okay? When they were created, because I'm going to show you in the scripture, it talks about them. You read about them. It's in the scripture. It's not made up. They found them. They did find them, but they're not the meat-eating things that man has made them to be. They were all vegetation. They ate vegetation. They didn't eat meat. Did they later eat meat? Yes. And we'll talk about when that happened and what caused them to do that, because I can tell you God didn't create them that way. Because he said, and he looked and saw, and everything was what? Good. The evening and the morning was the fourth day, and he said it was good. When man messes with it, it's when it's no longer good. And we'll see what it did to everything. Sin has affected everything. Has affected everything in this world. It's time to go home. Stand with me. I don't want to abuse time. I've been around several that do, and I don't want to be one of them. Heavenly Father, it's just sort of hard to quit. I just love everything I've been talking about. And your word, I could just talk for a long time. I just appreciate and love your word. It's so much truth. So many things that help me to understand the life that I'm living. And the things that are happening around me, I can understand why. Because of your precious word. Thank you for each and every one of these who've been able to be here today. I pray, Lord, that they learn something about your vastness and your power and how powerful you are. Indeed, the heavens declare your glory. Oh, thou art holy. Thou art holy. Thou art holy. We thank you and we praise you for your precious word. Lord, go with each and every one of them now. It's time to leave. Give them a good week and keep them safe. Be with these families, Lord, that have lost a loved one, but you've gained them. We know where they went. Take good care of them until we see them again. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.